The Supreme Court rules on the commercial wisdom of creditors to allow withdrawal of insolvency proceedings. Hi, welcome to NDA's Insolvency and Bankruptcy Podcast. My name is Sahil Kanuga and I co-head the International Dispute Resolution and Investigations Practice at Nishit Desai Associates. Today, I will be talking about an order of the Supreme Court in Valal RCK versus Siva Industries and another, where the Supreme Court has once again given precedence to the commercial wisdom of the Committee of Creditors. Let us first understand the provisions with respect to withdrawal of insolvency proceedings. Upon the commencement of insolvency proceedings, the Board of Directors of the corporate debtors are suspended. Further, the promoters of the corporate debtor cannot seek to purchase the corporate debtor as a going concern under the insolvency process, due to the eligibility criteria under Section 29A of the Code, which bars the promoters from participating in the insolvency process. Therefore, the only way available for promoters to regain control of the corporate debtor post-initiation of insolvency proceedings is to offer a settlement plan and seek withdrawal of the insolvency proceedings. Section 12A of the IBC, read with 30A of the Corporate Insolvency Resolution Process Regulations, allows withdrawal of insolvency proceedings in two ways. One is prior to the constitution of the Committee of Creditors, when an application can be filed through an interim resolution professional without any requirement of consent of the creditors. The second is after the constitution of the Committee of Creditors, when an application can be filed through the resolution professional only if 90% of the Committee of Creditors has provided its consent. Thus, in the second option, the promoters must propose a settlement plan which is acceptable to 90% of the creditors. Talking about the case before the Supreme Court, the facts were that an application was filed by the IDBI Bank to initiate the corporate insolvency resolution process of Siva Industries and Holdings Limited under Section 7 of the Code. Mr. Valal RCK, who was the promoter, placed a settlement plan before the Committee of Creditors seeking withdrawal of insolvency proceedings under Section 12A of the Code. After a few meetings, the settlement plan with the withdrawal application was approved by more than 90% of the Committee of Creditors. Accordingly, the resolution professional filed an application before the NCLT to withdraw the Section 7 application. The NCLT dismissed the withdrawal application, saying that the settlement proposal was not a settlement simpliciter. Instead, the settlement proposal was a business restructuring plan, which was not permitted under the code. The NCLT also ordered liquidation of the corporate debtor, considering that the CIRP had failed and the settlement proposal suffered from legal infirmities. In the appeal, the NCLAT refused to intervene and upheld the order of the NCLT. The promoter therefore preferred an appeal to the Supreme Court. Earlier, the Supreme Court and the NCLT or the NCLATs were allowing settlement between the creditors and debtors on an ad hoc basis. Therefore, the Insolvency Law Committee suggested introduction of an amendment to allow withdrawal of the insolvency proceedings subject to approval of 90% of the Committee of Creditors. The Supreme Court, while citing the legislative history, analyzed the object and intent of Section 12A of the Code and Regulation 30A of the CIRP regulations to hold that approval of a settlement plan by the Committee of Creditors is a product of commercial wisdom which is paramount. Therefore, the NCLT or the NCLAT cannot intervene in such a decision of the Committee of Creditors. Consequently, the Supreme Court set aside the order of the NCLT-NCLAT. The Supreme Court also referred to an earlier judgment stating that only if a Committee of Creditors rejects a just settlement arbitrarily, then an NCLT can set aside such a decision of the Committee of Creditors. It is trite that Section 29A bars a resolution plan by a certain class of persons, which includes promoters of the corporate debtor. While promoters are ineligible to propose a resolution plan because of such a bar, Section 12A gives an option to promoters to regain control over the corporate debtor by proposing a one-time settlement plan. The basic intent of Section 12A is to permit a one-time settlement plan between the Committee of Creditors and the debtor, subject to an approval by 90% of the Committee of Creditors. If such a practice is allowed to persist, the promoters may resort to prolong the insolvency proceedings to the extent possible. This is likely to lead to substantial wastage of scarce infrastructure and resources. Therefore, allowing promoters to submit a settlement plan post an invitation of expression of interest should be an exception and not the norm. Also, the code provides for certain mandatory contents of a resolution plan, which ensures that the interests of all stakeholders are safeguarded. Example, priority payment to operational creditors and dissenting financial creditors. However, a settlement plan by a promoter need not adhere to such checks and balances. Consequently, if the promoter defaults on the amounts owed to operational creditors, workmen, etc., it could lead to reinitiation of the insolvency process. In the present case as well, the settlement proposal by the promoter set out a schedule for a deferred repayment of the creditors' dues. In a case where the promoter failed to discharge the payment obligation under the settlement plan, it could lead to reinitiation of the insolvency process, thereby leading to unnecessary wastage of time and resources of the stakeholders. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can also read our analysis on the topic at the link mentioned in the description. If you have any queries or comments on this podcast, you can write to us at the email ID mentioned in the description. Thank you.